was what motivated this study?
Although many clinical disorders, including addictive disorders, are characterized by making bad decisions, decisions that are short-sighted, we don't really understand how the brain either makes good long-term decisions or makes short-sighted decisions. And so this study was designed to look at that question. We ask subjects to make many choices between immediate rewards or larger delayed rewards. And then we looked at the brain activity during those decisions. And we identified brain areas that predicted individual choice behavior of subjects. So we identified areas that showed very high activity in people who or always had a tendency to choose the immediate reward, and so a gradual decrease in activity as people tended to choose the better future reward. And in contrast, we saw the opposite effect in different brain areas, where we saw high activity in the patient choosers and activity decayed in these areas in people who were more likely to choose the immediate reward. We tested both sober alcoholics and people with no history of drug or alcohol abuse, and we found that the alcoholic group fell in the top part of the continuum and that they tended to choose the immediate reward significantly more often than the non-alcoholics. We also found an interesting and surprising result, which was that when we tested the genotypes of all of our subjects for a particular gene that controls dopamine levels in our, particularly the frontal cortex of our brain, that people with the lowest dopamine genes showed the most impulsive activity. And that was independent of their alcohol abuse history. So we found that alcohol abuse history and this gene combined together to make people extremely impulsive in their decision making, whereas people with the high dopamine genes tended to be less impulsive.
Okay, that's interesting. did you catch anything in that I want to go over again?
sounded good.
Okay.
So basically, in a really brief summary, you saw distinct differences in the way people think, people who have a history of substance abuse.
Yes. So what we saw is a brain signature, if you will, for impulsive decision making, as it was is something that differentiated the alcoholics from the non-alcoholics, this gives us a potential therapeutic target. So if we could design interventions that either medication or behavioral sorts of interventions that shift these activity patterns, those could be therapies that would be helpful in treating addiction disorders.
Okay. And tell us a little bit now about, as we did in our interview, about your treatments now do this, but with your study, maybe they could do something.
Right. So, first of all, there are very few medications available for treating addictive disorders. I think that's a huge area that needs to be developed. And most of the treatments available currently are designed to either alleviate withdrawal symptoms by mimicking partially the action of the drug. So people have probably heard of methadone or a nicotine patch. These both, or nicotine gum, these are sort of replacement type therapies. Alternatively, there are drugs that block the ability of the addictive substance to act in the brain. Those have been somewhat effective for some medication or for some addictive substances. For some addictive substances, like stimulants, for example, we don't have any current treatments available. And one thing that I think is interesting that comes out of this study is it points to not a difference in reward sensitivity in the alcoholic group, but to a difference in the cognitive processing in the alcoholic group. And it suggests a different approach to treating these types of patients, that if we were able to give them medications that helped improve cognitive function, that that may help them stay sober.
And Fields suggested medications that increased dopamine.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So those are the type of medications that have traditionally been used to treat Parkinson's disease, for example, which is a disorder involving degeneration of the cells that produce dopamine in the brain.
Could you give us that soundbite that says perhaps some drugs that increase dopamine?
Yes. So one example medication an example of a class of medications that could be useful are those that increase dopamine concentrations.
Great. Okay, cool.
if I can get my IRB to approve it, I'll be testing that drug soon.
But. Great. So let's go over the slides.
Okay.
And, you know, just look at them and, just explain what they're doing.
If you would, to help us out. Mm-hmm.